gets complicated, you need better questions.
It's just a fact that Tony Fauci, not the guy I'm talking with, but Tony Fauci, the person in people's mind, is now an impediment to public health because people won't listen to you.
You know, with all due respect, I just completely disagree with that premise because there are an awful lot of people who do listen, who do the right thing from a public health standpoint.
Hugh Hewitt. Weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
This question is actually for the city manager. Has anybody that's a director in our city resigned recently?
We have, can you direct your questions to the chair,
has anyone resigned recently in our city that's a director in our city?
I believe Councilman Leek's comment to you is based on the protocol that there's an expectation that there not be a dialogue between the person at the podium and a member of the council.
Okay, fine.
So I appreciate the question, and I would expect Mr. Spears to maybe speak to you after the meeting.
All right, it's part three. It's a completely different subject now. Teresa Messick, one of the Pitchfork Posse members, and she also sits on a board in the city. And she, you know, we've already had conflict over the audit, and, you know, who's responsible and who deserves the blame and why don't we have a forensic audit ordered? Well, because we haven't gotten to the point where we know enough to even order one just yet. By the way, I'll just give you my 10-cent perspective on the audit is, and you get exactly what you pay for, but on the audit, here's what I think is going to wind up happening. When all is said and done, I think we're going to wind up having 0 cents misspent, as in not even a dime of misspent money. Because I think this is all about the, you know, the reconciliations, what some of the city council members keep calling reconciliations, and I do not know why they mispronounce it that way. But this is reconciling, you know, that making sure that you're checking on your entries. So the auditor has to have all of this data provided to her so that she can evaluate whether all of the numbers match. Well, the reconciliations were not done for a long time. October 20 to 2024, and then there was a data issue. There was a, you know, a crash of the computer systems. There was some kind of, I think it was a virus, if I remember correctly, a hack. And my theory is that all of that stuff was behind to begin with, and then it didn't get done, and here we are where we are. Okay, but when that all came to light, it's a, oh my God, you know, are we missing $100,000? Well, again, there's no evidence that any money's been missing at all, like zero evidence. And I think when we get all done, it's going to turn out that there was no money missing at all. It was, you still have checking mechanisms for a reason. That's important. But they were not done properly, and now they're done properly, and everything's going to be fine. But we're not there yet, so, you know, we'll let you know when that comes. The second thing was a wastewater treatment plant. Always drama about, you know, poo water. I mean, it seems like there just always is, especially in Santa Rosa County and Milton. But now we are entering phase three. Phase three is, well, I think maybe somebody's left their job again, not just the CFO, Curtis Krebs, but somebody else.
Okay, I would like to ask the question, has our IT director resigned on July the 2nd, and her last day is this Friday?
I was not aware. I don't know.
Sir? I'm waiting.
It's...
Don't you think that's something that the city council should know?
I would like to know if city staff are resigning or changing jobs. Absolutely.
Well, especially the IT director and all of this stuff that happened with the city with our computer was over her.
So there's a very involved system of, like, leaks and who's aligned with who, and I won't get into all the details now, but, you know, I'm guessing somebody decided to call Teresa and let her know something had happened, but I don't know. You know, I don't know the facts either, but that's not really the issue. The real issue is where this conversation goes, because Pitchfork Posse is always trying to get Ed, trying to get out any last vestiges of the remaining organization from before when it was Randy Jorgensen and Alex Andrade and Ed Spears, the holdover from that. And, you know, so those folks are kind of always looking for an angle to get rid of Ed. And here we go. Teresa thinks she's got one, and it's going to show.
We had a past who gets slandered sometimes, Mr. John Kobe, who did an outstanding job with a broken vessel, and we never had any problems. And we had problems, and we get somebody that's a controller in our city that gets shafted, and we have a city manager over there who got fired from the city of Pensacola for changing documents to do with Maritime Park, and we hired him as our city manager.
Mayor, so this is delving into a personal attack at this point in time.
Yeah,
I appreciate you giving input, but this is not a question and answer session, and please stick to the facts. And if you question the facts, then that can be discussed after
the facts is our IT director resigned on July the 2nd, and no one up here even talked about that. Is that not important?
Ma'am, I didn't know about it. That's why I didn't talk about it.
Did anyone up here know? I voted for y'all. Did anyone up here, any of you city managed council know that she was...
Never pass up a chance to engage in a personal attack against Ed for other things. And anyway, Gavin Hawthorne, who is... I really like Gavin. Gavin is always kind of like the voice of reason, the moderate on the council. Casey Powell is the other one. But Gavin, like, if you anger Gavin, you've really done something wrong. Like, he's kind of hard to irritate.
Who's the IT director? Who is the IT director?
Crystal.
Okay, so I came up here to collect my phone past July 4th. She's here. She was in the office.
Her last day is Friday.
I spoke to Molly.
Okay.
She's still here.
Ms. Messick.
But, man, when it comes to city employees, as council members, we have nothing to do with city employees. That has a city manager. Now, if you have a city manager issue, then we can address that issue because that's who we hire. However, when it comes to an employee, that does not need to be presented. You have your right to have a public input. That's correct. However, I'm sick and tired of those comments of that something that we can't control is our problem. Help us help you by.
Yeah, because personnel matters are the purview of the city manager. And he's like, I'm just tired of y'all being who you are. Which is understandable. I have the same reaction. We'll come back and finish this in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 both continue to look good. Still working that vehicle crash with injury. Southbound Century Boulevard near McDavid. Roadways open, but use caution as they clean up that accident. Also have a vehicle crash Viking Road right near Gulf Beach Highway. No roadblock. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So, Teresa Messick.
My thing is, Gavin, is this. We had a system down for months that caused big issues in our city. We have someone who resigned that is over that department with our IT, and we don't know anything about this. And I asked the city council, is that not important?
You didn't ask the city council. You addressed all of your issues to the city manager.
Well, I asked him because he's the manager. Okay, that's why I looked at
him. That's not how we conduct meetings.
This dialogue is concluded.
That's not how we conduct meetings, Mrs. Messick.
Excuse me, point of order. Okay. This dialogue is concluded.
I think
Mrs.
it's important that we know. Thank you.
You can speak to someone after the meeting about this.
So it's interesting also that we had sort of that side of the aisle. The Pitchfork Posse folks had, somebody had come up and said, well, they got to get on Howard Steele for being rude to the mayor. Is Teresa Messick not being rude to the staff and rude to Ed? And, I mean, you know, she's on a board, too. And I don't have any problem with it. I think people should be able to say what they want to say. I don't prefer that they engage in, well, I always want Milton to be better. But there is a part of me that recognizes that Milton not being better is part of what makes this show fun. unfortunately. So Howard Steele, who is in the anti-Pitchfork Posse, you know, Heather Lindsay, Mike Cusack, Marilyn Farrow, and the Save Our Blackwater, Concerned Citizens, Milton Concerned Citizens, all of those folks, he's an anti-them, okay? And he says, and we've already had several episodes today of him being kind of involved in all of this.
Staff does not need to be involved with the public on these day-to-day issues and be confronted with such confrontation.
That's true.
I've seen people come to this podium and belittle staff, interrogate staff, regularly.
That's true.
And it needs to stop. It's uncalled for. It's unprofessional. I'm talking to you. You're talking to me. But staff is not into that equation. Thank you.
And, you know, one of the things that's worth keeping in mind, by the way, I did verify that, you know, actually, yeah, she has left. Okay, she resigned. But, you know, one of the things about this is that the IT director, but one of the things about this is the premise that if somebody hasn't come out publicly and given a big explanation of everything, that therefore something nefarious is going on, therefore something bad is going on. You know, a lot of times good management is keeping your mouth shut. I mean, it's necessary. I know not everybody gets that. But, you know, a little bit of trust goes a long way. And a little bit of deference goes a long way. There are limits, too. But once you've gotten over into the assumption that people are doing bad things, the assumption that people are wicked or incompetent or whatever, it's just very hard to see anything without looking at it through that lens. You know, I have very strong opinions about some of the people who are involved in Milton. You know this if you listen to the show for any period of time. I have to constantly be reminding myself, okay, be paying attention in case they say something that makes sense. Be paying attention in case they say something that's valid, that's good, and give them credit when it's due. That's difficult. You know, once you've judged people a certain way, you have to watch your bigotry at that point. Even if it's a reasonable thing to believe about them, you still have to always watch that, you know, the person that you really can't stand might be saying something worthwhile and you got to pay attention. And the person that you side with might be in the wrong and you got to be paying attention for that too. That's just being a good, fair judge of whatever it is you're observing. 720 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That is the end of our three-part segment for today. Milton's always a Russian novel. Very rarely particularly proud of the city council. Although I will say, and I always like to remind people of this, I think the city itself actually runs quite well. The people, the staff who run the city are fantastic. It's just this combination of the elected officials, some of them, not all of them, many of them, and the public that make it, well, Days of Our Milton. 720 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about a residential real estate transaction, buying a rental long-term, short-term, moving to the beach, getting a second home, retirement home, first home, you want to move to Milton because you hear it works so well, or you want to leave Milton. I don't know what the case may be. Everybody's got different motives. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty sold 206 homes last year. That is crazy for a week, this team. And one of the things about being a team, and, you know, Christina always talks about this when she's on Pep Talk, is if you've got something like, you know, needs to happen right now, well, you know, if you have a realtor, you know, maybe they can, maybe they can't. But if you have a team, there's always somebody who can, you know, help solve a problem, whatever the case may be. And that's an advantage. It's a small advantage, but it's an advantage. Plus the experience, when you sell that many homes, you know exactly what's happening at every price point in every different region in our area, what people are looking for, what they're not looking for, what gets in the way, even how sometimes a home might be priced too low. I know one thing that happened somewhat recently, as Christina said, there was a home that came, I think it was in Navarre, and it was $499, the realtor, and she couldn't get it sold. I think it was a she. And the realtor handed it off to Christina and said, $499, you'll never get a dime more. Christina looked at it, listed it at 6.25, and it sold 10 days later for cash. Or 7 days later. Yeah, 10 days later for cash. And she's like, okay. But sometimes it's just knowing the market. So that kind of experience is unique. You do not have to don't just take it on my word. Talk to her and find out, you know. Compare her to a couple of people. It's okay to talk to a couple of realtors. Just include Christina Leavenworth on your list. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hi, this is DC Reeves. Together, we are moving Pensacola in the right direction. My priorities are building a healthy economy with good careers and keeping our community safe. I will always support our small businesses and back the blue. Let's keep working as a team to move Pensacola forward. I'm DC Reeves, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th.
DC Reeves is endorsed by Sheriff Chip Simmons and the Fraternal Order of Police, paid for by DC Reeves for mayor.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you desire appreciation? Do you find yourself full of anxiety and frustration when you've served people humbly, yet it seems they've completely taken you for granted? Certainly, if you've served in such a way, people should be thankful and they should express their appreciation. However, it's unhealthy and unwise for any of us to crave appreciation from others. The fact is, people are generally consumers. They will often consume your service and move on to the next thing in their lives. The key is to serve others as unto the Lord. Do your service thoroughly and humbly as if you're serving God Himself. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Man's approval and appreciation is way overrated. And frankly, God's approval is way undersought.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Summer is here, and Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
I'm Erin Eiswanger, Republican candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission District 2. I will make sure you, the people, are heard, and the county commissioners work for we, the people, not the developers, special interests, or the political class. I'll work tirelessly to fix our infrastructure, stop irresponsible growth, and grow our economy. I'm Erin Eiswanger, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th. Santa Rosa County will be stronger with Nyswanger.
Paid for and approved by Erin Nyswanger, Republican, Santa Rosa County, District 2.
Markley Van Camp and Robbins.
MVR.
Weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
So the question is, can you tell whether in that sound clip Steve Austin was jumping or landing or moving something with his arm?
Jumping.
Jumping? No. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injury. Southbound Century Boulevard near McDavid. Roadways open. Just use caution through that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, former Vice President Kamala Harris thinks that the U.S. needs more Supreme Court justices. She spoke last Friday at the National Urban League Conference in Nashville, and she said that she'd like to see the court expanded to 13 justices. Wallet Hub is out.
Do it right now and let Trump appoint him. Well, that'll solve everything,
sure,
right?
I'm not sure she'd be on board with it.
She wants to wait till there's a Democrat in office so that that person can appoint a bunch of Democrats?
One would think that maybe that's what she's hoping for. I don't know. I don't want to speak on her behalf.
I don't think that she wants to speak on her behalf. Go ahead, David.
According to Wallet Hub, the five happiest cities in the U.S., Andrew, the list is out. It is Fremont, California, coming in on the top of that list. Bismarck, North Dakota. Scottsdale, Arizona. South Burlington, Vermont. And Fargo, North Dakota. I don't know how we didn't make the list.
Yeah, I don't. So those are the five happiest cities?
That's according to Wallet Hub.
I lived in Scottsdale for a little while. Doesn't strike me as that particularly. Fargo? I will say, Fargo? I know, right?
Fargo,
it's a weird list,
Bismarck,
honestly.
North Dakota?
Maybe the people, maybe Scottsdale said yes because it's a really high affluence area, you know? They're having money and being happy. I don't know.
It's weird. North Dakota gets two cities represented on that list.
Yeah, who knew North Dakota was raking in the happiness quotients? All right. And, I guess John Stuart Mill set up North Dakota. Nobody?
Apparently.
Nobody? Nobody with the philosopher's joke? Utility? Okay, yeah. Fine. All right, you go look it up. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I'm going to get a... I deserve it. I really... I do deserve it. I don't always deserve it, but I definitely deserve it today.
Boo!
Yeah, that's fine. But when's the last time you heard a good philosopher's joke? 437-1620. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, do I want to get into this? This is a good note. This is a good note, okay? The Trump administration is looking to reopen oil refineries. Good. You know, more energy from more sources. I'm on board with that. There's a decommissioned, and maybe it's not decommissioned, but it's shut down refinery in the Caribbean that they're particularly looking at. And I guess it was shut down because of, you know, environmental concerns or something like that. But, you know, they're wanting to get it reopened, and generally speaking, more refineries means more capacity, means we're less susceptible to the fluctuation in the market. We shouldn't be operating at 100%. I like that. Strategic location. This was, I had it identified, and now I just cannot find it in my notes here. It's in the Virgin Islands. That's right. One in the Virgin Islands. Companies have been approaching the administration for over a year now, interested in purchasing it. It was one that would process a lot of the oil that would come out of Venezuela. So it seems to make sense given recent developments. First reported by Politico. Yes, please, more. The problem is we don't build enough of these things. Our infrastructure, a lot of it is so aged. You know, we need more refineries, newer refineries. We need more nuclear, kind of all of this stuff. 437-1620. Oh, Caitlin Clark is making more enemies. So, in the WNBA, which is a very high percentage lesbian athletes, and, of course, you know, very pro-woke, very rainbow-friendly, and, of course, you had all the controversy with Sophie Cunningham. First, there was the point, and now she's against trans athletes competing in women's sports. Good for her. Now they're asking, you know, Caitlin Clark, what do you think about her comments? What do you think about what she says? What do you think about, you know, this kind of, you know, take a position? And remember I mentioned before that one of the problems with Caitlin Clark, one of the theories about why the WNBA players don't like her is because she's, not because she's straight and white, but because she's not pro-woke and doesn't embrace the role of being a political activist and kind of doesn't want that responsibility. Now, that's even worse because they asked her, and she gave a non-answer and said, well, that's just not a part of us improving in games, and we're interested in improving games. So now she's angered everybody. She won't be with Sophie Cunningham opposing trans athletes. She won't be with the Rainbow Coalition embracing trans athletes. The fact that she won't take a position, which I think is a brilliant answer. I mean, we always say, shut up and dribble. Well, let her just do her job. Who cares what her politics are? Athletes don't have to also be political activists.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump chooses high-stakes diplomacy to find a potential endgame in the war with Iran.
The president says that American forces are ready to go, but that he wanted to avoid an unnecessary loss of life. The president said that he had paused what would have been the biggest strike since World War II. After speaking with regional allies like Saudi Arabia and Qatar, the president citing what he calls the parameters of a deal having been made to end the nuclear threat, as he called it, from Iran and open the Strait of Hormuz.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff, the White House, wildfires scorching eastern Washington, Governor Bob Ferguson.
There are just so many Washingtonians who have literally lost everything.
Fire officials say the Spokane complex fire has leveled hundreds of structures in a neighborhood northwest of Spokane. And the EU calling on Spain and Morocco to prevent movement of migrants to the mainland Spain and Europe. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 71 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. A stalking charge against a Pensacola car dealer accused of harassing the owner of Taco Rock 29 has been dropped. The state attorney's office says prosecutors could not prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt. Abdullah Adam Alishkar had been accused of harassing Taco Rock 29 owner Mayra Ramirez over a parking lot dispute. She does still have a pending civil injunction against him. Fire heavily damaged the 98 Treasures Antique Mall in Gulf Breeze on Saturday. That was also the business's third anniversary. Fire Chief Shannon Stone says crews put out the fire within about 20 minutes, but the electrical short in the attic may have burned undetected for a while before that, so the building will likely be a total loss. About 20 local vendors had items inside the building at the time. No injuries were reported. The state fire marshal's office is investigating. A car crashed through a fence and into Zach's Motors on Palm Court Sunday. The crash happened about 2 o'clock that morning. Not a lot of details on that incident have been released. 500 families left Marcus Point Baptist Church on Saturday with backpacks and groceries ahead of the new school year. The giveaway brought together Feeding the Gulf Coast, State Representative Michelle Salzman, and a Foundation of Hope.
We just want to love on our community and hopefully start the school year off in a positive way so the kids can come to school ready to learn and the families can have food to put on the table.
Salzman talked to Channel 3. Organizers say their goal was simple, to help kids start the year ready to learn with a week's worth of groceries for their families at home. Governor Ron DeSantis says Florida is leading the nation now when it comes to arresting people in the country illegally. He was on Fox News over the weekend. He said nearly half of all immigration arrests made by state and local law enforcement nationwide happen here in Florida. And Senator Rick Scott says he is skeptical that any diplomacy is going to work with Iran. Scott told Fox News over the weekend that the talks are not likely to succeed. He said the U.S. could need to take stronger military action unless there's a regime change or Iran's nuclear capabilities are fully dismantled. A 65-year-old Crestview man has died after a crash in Okaloosa County on Friday. Troopers say 21-year-old Fort Walton Beach woman was turning left onto Green Acres Road when her truck turned into the path of a southbound sedan. The man driving that sedan was taken to a hospital and died. The woman suffered only minor injuries in that crash. Let's take a quick look at our forecast from Channel 3.
We are going to be seeing a hot day today with temperatures warming up near 91 degrees. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a 10% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Tuesday, 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 90 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Heading into Wednesday, another 20% chance of rain, high near 91. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got 73 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies this morning. And let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by ECUA, making service easier with the new MyECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. Still working that vehicle crash with injuries southbound Century Boulevard near McDavid. Roadway is open, but they're urging you to use caution. Also have a vehicle crash Viking Road right near Gulf Beach Highway. No roadblock. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Our next news in 30 minutes, breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Box office history was made this weekend.
What the hell, Frank? You just hit me with a van.
Quit your whimpering.
You can't just shoot yourself out of every situation. Innocent people get hurt.
What do you think's downrange of that tank, dum-dum?
Spider-Man, Brand New Day, became the second biggest North American opening ever with $355 million in ticket sales. The film also raked in $572 million internationally. Toyota is forecast to post a fifth straight quarterly operating profit decline this week, hit by weaker vehicle sales and rising costs. LSEG analysts say the world's biggest automaker is expected to report roughly $7 billion in profit for the April to June quarter. That's down 5% from a year earlier. EasyJet has extended the deadline for suitor Castle Lake to decide whether to make a firm takeover offer. The UK takeover panel consented to an extension of Castle Lake's deadline to August 7th from August 3rd. Futures are mixed. Dow futures up by more than 500 points. That's Your Money Now.
4 years ago, Kerry Smith made three promises. Roads before development, fair impact fees, and rewriting our land development code. He's kept every single one. Kerry steered $60 million in roadway capacity projects, breaking ground this summer. Kerry alone championed impact fees, so new growth pays its fair share. Rewrote the land development code twice to protect our neighborhoods from flooding. Kerry continues to work with FDOT to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. Promises made, promises kept. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Kerry Smith, Republican for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 2.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 8th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon is Friday, August 14th in the lobby of the Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark. You'll hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who've benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
All the money stays right here.
Gulfwinds Credit Union is matching donations up to $20,000. This year, help us raise funds for the Pediatric Sedation Suite.
Thank you.
Special thank you to our champion sponsors, including Florida Power and Light, and our hope sponsors, Stifel, Navy Federal Credit Union, Walmart, and Sam's Club. You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
Hello, I'm Colonel Eric W. Shorter, and I'm running for mayor. I'm a true son of Pensacola and a product of multiple generations of public servants. My goals are simple. Vertical economic initiatives, jobs, 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 affordability and housing, neighborhood revitalization, and education reformation. Citywide opportunity is possible, and I'm not guessing. Vote for the positive choice. Colonel Eric W. Shorter for Mayor of Pensacola.
Paid and approved by Colonel Eric Shorter. Candidate for Mayor of Pensacola.
You don't always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7. On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh, oh, oh.
How many Blues uniforms do you think you've made over the years?
So it's so many, I can't even really tell you.
Thousands?
Yes, thousands. Never have they did that for me, ever. That I was making. I'm making pennies compared to what they're doing. Before, they always announced to me, Miss Candy, do you want the contract? You need to put your bid in. This year, I didn't hear from no one. No one called me.
So this is Candy Whitehurst. She's the owner of the Sewing Box. And as I know, you've seen the report on Channel 3 about how this particular shop has been basically making the Blue Angels, signature blue and yellow flight suits for, you know, decades. And now suddenly she finds herself out of a contract that they went with somebody in Pennsylvania. The money seems quite a bit higher than she says she ever got paid for these suits. It's always possible she could get subcontracted for it. Very interesting story. I think there's a lot more to be said about this, but I wanted to ask our Congressman Jimmy Petronas, what he knows about this. Jimmy, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, sir.
Hey, good morning. Look, I don't know if people realize this, but for 9 years of my life, I handled all of the payment side of the procurement for every state contract. And you know, these procurement processes, when a contract goes out for bid, all of the those that were using the contract before opponents, there's a lot of information and transparency goes out. So again, I'm not sure who in the previous cycles of this contract were notifying all parties that this contract was expiring or for re-procurement. I reached out to a buddy of mine at the Pentagon to get an update. I haven't heard anything back because it was a weekend. But I'm going to make sure everything was handled appropriately, and that's why they do things called bid protests. There's ways that the sewing shop can react legally. But if this contract was handled legally and somebody missed a window to apply, the best thing she can do is try to be, part of a sub to it, which right. might be the cleanest, easiest, fastest way to make this work, without having all the contract in front of me. I don't know all the particulars.
Sure. And it's a real... It's a frustrating story because obviously, we love the Sewing Box. They've done such a great job, and it's a local thing and proximity to the base, and we get all of that, and we love our local people. At the same time, the reason you have open procurements and competitive bidding is to make sure that you have a process where, honestly, you don't have the local politician can put a thumb on the scale and get a thing done a certain way. She kind of even said it sounds like somebody used to always reach out to her and remind her. And, if they didn't because of personnel changeovers or, whatever, well, that's maybe a little bit on her, too, to kind of follow up on that stuff. It's obviously for her, a $1.7 million contract over 5 years, if that's what she could have gotten. And I don't know that was kind of like the max for the contract. If she could have gotten that, it's a huge deal, probably the biggest client that she's got. But from the point of view of the Pentagon with a $1 trillion budget, $1 million is not even a hiccup in budgetary concerns, but it just, it's a frustrating story because we all want our local and we want the tradition and all of that. But, rules do exist in order to make sure that the rules are followed.
And that, like I said, you got to look at the contract. So that number, as enormous as it may sound, because that's still a lot of money in our terms.
Right.
That may be for different suits for multiple branches or different suits for different equipment, not just the Blues, but the Blues and could be F-18 Super Hornets that are just for sales. I mean, there's a number of elements that could fill into that, which is gobbling up that 1.7 where, you know, her scope may have been in her contract when she had it was just for the Blues. So that's probably why it was a smaller amount of money.
Oh, that's an interesting note. It might have been for things beyond just the Blue Angels suits. And certainly if you include, I don't know, it said flight suits, I guess, but I don't know if that includes the enlisted uniforms as well. You know, their blue suits.
Exactly.
So I don't know the details of that either. And, you know, it's a good question to ask. But, you know, I'm glad you're kind of paying attention to it and, you know, at least asking the question, because I think that's what a lot of people would want is, you know, what can Jimmy do? And, well, you know, you're looking into it, which I appreciate that.
I got about 30 pings over the weekend about it.
Really?
You know, just different folks reaching out to me. And I had folks, you know, giving me understanding of some of the history. You know, again, all this stuff is texts and emails and phone calls. You know, I like to look at real documents that show this is the history. These are the dollars that were paid. This is what the last contract was. And that's what you got to do in order to get to the bottom of it. So
we're talking to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman. Jimmy, hang on for just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries, southbound Century Boulevard, right near McDavid. They're saying the roadway's open, but use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Jimmy, one of the things that kind of been, I don't know, you and I have talked a little bit about this. We've talked about AI and your efforts to rein that in and bring some sanity to it. Also, data centers, and of course, as you know, and we talked about this a little bit too, there's been a really high local but also national push against the development of data centers. And I have seen, in the beginning when people were kind of whispering in my ear, we think the Chinese or the Russians are kind of behind this because if they can get us to not develop infrastructure, they can win this sort of culture war, infrastructure war against us. Michelle Salzman was on my show on Friday, and she was talking about how, you know, basically at Cory Station, this is what they're worried about. The foreign actors are not limited by the constraints that we are because of our Constitution. The foreign actors, right, particularly China, are investing heavily in data centers. Their most desperate wish is that America would not keep up and compete. I'm starting to be concerned that here locally, not just with Cory, but nationally, we are allowing this Democrat Socialist of America to create a narrative that is going to cripple our ability to develop, you know, infrastructure to keep us competitive in the AI and cyber war front.
Oh, you're 1,000%. Look, years ago, I was at a conference down in South Florida's Economic Development Conference. And this is back, you know, Miami was really getting a lot of buzz, and it still is, regarding Silicon Valley types that want to invest in the market of Miami-Dade County. San Francisco's economic development arm started polluting the internet about what? Not about all the terrible things about San Francisco's high taxes, the homelessness, all that stuff that takes place. They were polluting the internet with Miami is subject to sea level rise. Okay. So they started just dumping all this garbage on the internet. So when these site selectors were looking for, let's find a good place to go take our company, whenever they would look at Miami, because Miami had some heat to it, it was exciting, it would say, oh, you can't go to Miami because it's susceptible to sea level rise. So, I mean, foreign actors, competitive actors, even capitalists will go out and try to change what is on the public domain in order to change the direction of a decision. So, yeah, look, the Chinese, they are active. And if you don't think they are, you're sleeping, you know, in your head in the sand.
Well, and, you know, we know Iran, we know China, we know Russia, we know North Korea are engaged in long-term planning to beat us in all kinds of ways. And we know that they are very, very well-developed in cyber warfare, and that includes intelligence operations and, you know, how to manipulate social media in ways that accomplish effects for them. I mean, we do a lot of this stuff, too. I'm not saying we're clean on this or anything, but, you know, they can be effective. And, you know, would it surprise anybody to find out that a bunch of these folks, you know, have basically been co-opted, you know, what the historic term is, useful idiots, that they've been co-opted for a political purpose that is not friendly to America's national defense interests?
Well, it's how they get ahead in the world.
Yeah.
Totally.
What, I hate to almost ask, because I think the answer is we're really just going to have to wait and see, but do you really think we're on the verge of a peace deal? Do you think this is just, where are we with Iran right now? in your opinion?
I think we are on the verge of a peace deal as the president, because there's more dialogues that the president is having with Saudi officials, with those other stakeholders, where he does have a legitimate decision maker to talk to. And they are picking up the phone and calling, saying, hey, don't do this just yet. We're going to engage. And you've got all those other stakeholders there who stand to lose from us going into Iran and blowing it to hell and back. So, you know, they are now all in because they know, I mean, they can access the president. They can hear the temperature of his voice. They can hear his frustration more than what they see on TV. So there's some inside baseball that's taking place. And I do think that, you know, when the president comes out and says we're on the verge of a peace deal, you've got all those other players also in Iran that are starting to leave the defensive posture and start saying, you know, I'm done. You know what? I'm ready to get back to governing. I don't want to wake up, you know, having to go to a funeral of somebody that I knew because the United States, you know, took out a power plant. And that's, so, I mean, I think all this stuff is real. The president doesn't want to be there any longer than he has, but he also has very he's patient, but he doesn't have the patience that the Iranians would probably like him to have. And eventually he'll snap. But I do think we're on the verge of something. I really do.
I sure hope so. I mean, it's hard to tell from the outside if you're not, like, really connected to all the information or whatever. I really liked what Senator Kennedy had to say yesterday on Meet the Press. You know, remember, they're crazy. That's important to remember. Remember, they're only here because we bombed them into a position where they felt they had to come to the table. And also keep in mind that it's better to have a, you know, no deal at all than to have a bad deal. But he also, and I thought this was a good point that maybe doesn't give enough credit, is, look, we have this other thing with Hamas. Now, maybe nothing comes of it. You know, maybe nothing actually happens with them. But they are obviously looking at Iran as their source. And if, you know, if daddy can't pay the bills anymore, you don't have money for weapons. That's true for Hezbollah. That's true for the Houthis. And, you know, we have made the region more safe by interrupting Iran's, you know, flow of cash. And that's no small thing. Even if we don't manage to get the big objectives accomplished, it's made the region safer in the interim and the short term, right?
Well, the economic route of hurting their ability to finance terrorism, it is a longer road to hoe,
right.
But for the long road, it's the better road to take, because at least you're not, you know, blowing up all their infrastructure. But yeah, if they can't even, you know, turn on their own sources of their economy, how are they going to fund the crazies that they've put into Palestine? So, I mean, there's that, and those agreements come to the surface. I think they're all big victories to bring this whole overall arching war to a close.
Let's talk about the Roomba ban for just a second, because I think this is a really fascinating story, how we have put out an import ban against basically all robots, that we do not bring in robots from overseas. If they're made here, that's one thing. If they're already approved here, that's one thing. But this covers everything from, you know, importing humanoid robots that would be coming from China to do, you know, washing the cars and that kind of stuff. But it also applies to the, you know, the vacuum cleaners. It's a wide-ranging ban. As I understand it, it's being presented as a safety thing against foreign influence. There's also an element of this for onshoring, right? That if they're made domestically, we don't ask as many questions. What's your perspective on this?
So Capitol Police, they do typical sweeps of our offices from time to time. And so, I mean, I'm supposed to be saying this, but I guess I'm going to say anyway. So there was a sweep done of my office, and their technology is so good that my phone charger, I've got an induction charger, you know, you just drop your phone on it,
yeah,
charges. I bought it from Amazon. They were able to identify and said in their sweep, yeah, that's Chinese technology. You probably shouldn't have it in your office. So it's real. It's a real concern. That's why I just, you know, I beat people up about TikTok. You know, never, ever, ever allow TikTok on your local Wi-Fi network. It's the absolute best espionage tool there is out there. You know, I won't let my kids have it. I don't want to have it on any of our devices. When I was at the state, it was banned, but it is what it is. I mean, this is how they don't need to have human intelligence boots on the ground in the United States. They just listen to our devices that we gladly buy from them.
Wow. Yeah. And I'm the same way. Like, people are always saying, you know, Andrew, you ought to get on TikTok because it's a big platform. Like, yeah, no thanks. No, I don't need that on my phone. I trust all of my local cyber people who say never, 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 never. And I believe them, you know, and like you said, at the state, same thing. And for the military, same thing. I think these people probably know enough to know, you know, what's not a good idea. You know, the Chinese are, I mean, it is a multifaceted effort to gain dominance. Everything from, you know, funding for these so-called cultural centers on our universities to getting people embedded in corporations and stealing technology. You know, gosh, why does their plane look a lot like the F-35? Huh, I wonder, you know? I mean, this is, everything from building dams in Africa that crumble after 6 years, but they got a leverage deal out of that that gives them influence, or the Panama Canal, like, you have no idea. Americans have no idea how much China in particular is doing in a soft war against us.
Talking to Caribbean countries, I've met with prime ministers of these countries that want more relationships in the United States. They don't want to do work with China because what happens, to your point, China comes in and they bring their own people to do the work. They don't create jobs locally, but they provide the infrastructure that this country desperately needs, and then they leave their people there. And then next thing you know, it's like a different way of colonizing. They give it to them. You know, they're more aggressive than anybody else in the globe.
It's a different way of colonizing. That is a great way to put it. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman from Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, buddy. Thanks.
You bet. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Viking Road, right near Gulf Beach Highway in Pensacola. No roadblock associated with that one. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least, is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Experience, training, and commitment matter. I'm Linda Sanborn, and I'm running for Santa Rosa County School Board District 1. I dedicated 35 years to teaching in public schools and earned a master's degree in education. I know what it takes for students to succeed. With grandchildren in local schools, I'm committed to providing the best education for all students. I would appreciate your vote for Linda Sanborn.
Paid for and approved by Linda Sanborn, Santa Rosa School Board District 1.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
The countdown is on.
Chest high stab. Here is the give. Cole Feely bounces to the outside. 25-20, 15-10, 5-4-3-2-1. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Hi, this is Jeff Colhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. The new college football season begins for the Noles in just a few weeks. Join us all season long on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Do you know what this is?
I know what this is.
This is an espresso machine. No, no, no. It's a snow cone maker. That's what it is. Is it a water heater?
I think it's an intermediate range ballistic missile warhead, but whatever. 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Good morning. Well, President Trump, of course, saying talks resume with Iran today. Airstrikes were halted ahead of those attacks. It's not been disclosed where the talks are being held. Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrell says she's planning to investigate Dr. Anthony Fauci. Of course, this comes after his invoking the Fifth Amendment during that Senate hearing last week. And actor Vincent Pastore has died at the age of 80. He was known for his role on The Sopranos.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Coming up next, we'll talk to Sheriff Bob Johnson. A couple of things going on in Santa Rosa County, including we'll ask him about that noise complaint issue with the coffee shop and whether they have the equipment they need.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.